What is up, guys? I am pumped about this one. I got to have Brian McQuilkin in the studio today. We dive into a lot of cool things, you know, core values, mission, vision, values, some how to run and operate and kind of, you know, deal with employees and how to best tailor things for certain people. A lot of fun stuff. So I look forward to this one. Also, I apologize. The audio got a little jacked up, but a lot of good information. So make sure to watch it through.
I still remember sitting down with our US implementer saying like, hey, I want to grow. So this is all our leadership team. I want to grow. I think we should grow here and grow here. And then Dan, he says, hey, look around the room. Em, can we do that? She's like, nope. Joan, can we do that? Nope. Jake, can we do that? Nope. And then, Brian, you know why we can't do it?
Welcome to the Media Core Minute Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Longmade. Today in the studio, joined by Mr. Brian McQuilkin. Brian is the co-owner and integrator of Active PT. And how many locations do you guys have?
14 right now.
14. That's wild.
We have 9 communities and 14 locations.
That's awesome. And Brian is, you know, when you sent me this, I was like, this is the biggest intro I think I've ever done.
No, you don't have to do it. Just say I'm a PT. I'm a PT. And
he's very certified, let's say that.
Yeah, to, don't say them all.
Don't say, we'll just list them in the video. But no, Brian, it's great to have you on. I've been excited about this one. You are the only person that has given me homework for one of these to take on the test, so I was excited about that as well.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me to come on this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive into your 7 tests too.
Yeah. No, it was a really unique thing, and it's something that, you know, you've obviously integrated into a lot of your business, and you know, kind of opened my eyes to going like, oh, like this could actually help probably a lot of different things. So I'm excited to do that later. We're kind of starting off just for people listening. What is Active PT, and what do you guys do?
Yeah, so we are a physical therapy practice, and we work with patients that have orthopedic injuries, so like neck, back, shoulder, headaches, knees, hips, wrist, ankle. We have kind of a more of a niche in orthopedics. We don't tend to go out into like neuro cases with like spinal cord injuries or neuromuscular. We focus right into orthopedic issues. And really our mission is we want to make people better, both our team and our patients. And probably, you know, maybe some differentiators is we really focus in on having a healthy team because we believe a healthy team will better care for their patients. So we spend a lot of time.
So how, and like, how is that different, you know, from what you're doing from like going to a doctor or going to like a chiropractor and stuff like that when you have some of those pains or injuries?
So the cool part about it, at least in Minnesota, and it's the same way in most states, but in Minnesota, you have direct access, which means you can come directly to a physical therapist. And then we work with physicians and PAs and NPs and different providers, dentists, in those situations where like there's more needed. Maybe there's imaging needed. Maybe there's another consultation needed. But people can come directly to a physical therapist. And the cool part about our gig is we have the ability to use our hands. We have the ability to use inanimate objects with like needles and cups and bands and weights to get people better.
Yeah.
We don't need scalpels. We don't need meds. We have a really cool job where we can do mobilizations to joints, manipulations to joints, work with the muscles, and get people feeling better back to their goals with, you know, not too complicated procedures.
Yeah. Probably not invasive too, like the
needles.
Cutting and needles.
We put needles in, but other than dry needling, we're using hands and inanimate objects to get people better.
So why physical therapy? Why is that an interest to you?
Yeah, so I grew up, my mom, who's like a saint, she's probably one of the nicest, greatest people. She's a nurse. So she's like caring for everybody all the time. My dad's a biomedical engineer, and he started 3 businesses. He had MedWave, CardioWave, and InnoPix, and very intelligent guy. So kind of finding something where there's like maybe a more...
Are those medical devices or like what is...
So he does like right now it's more infrared imaging and disease detection. So that's probably where some of the entrepreneurial side comes from. And knowing what that life looked like growing up.
Because did you grow up here, Rochester?
No, I grew up in Plymouth, Minnesota, up in the cities. Okay. And then moved down to Iowa for undergrad. Loved Iowa City. Bagged the Gophers. Became a Hawkeye fan. Diehard Hawkeye fan. Win or lose, there's just so many fans that come out. And go Hawks. They've just been fantastic to follow. But then came up to Rochester for Mayo PT school. You know, it's a small class PT school of like 21 students in our class and fantastic professors, and it's just a great program.
I was going to say something about the Hawkeyes. We, you know, I never really thought of them, and then I saw it obviously on here, and
yeah,
we actually just did a project down there working with a construction company that's on campus working with like for the wrestling team. They're digging down, I think 50 feet or something like that, a big
on
hole,
campus
on campus. And they're going 100 to 150 feet, I forget what it was, into the stadium. So they're going to build a building, elevator, tunnel into the stadium. And it was something like for like the wrestlers, so they didn't have to be outside or something like that.
That's awesome.
I was really interested. But yeah, so our guys have been down on the campus and in there and talking to some of the coaches.
It's an awesome campus. In the summers, I worked at a PT clinic, and then I worked at grounds at the University of Iowa. So it'd be mowing and shearing and rocking on campus, but I didn't get to do near Kinnick. That would have been fun.
Yeah. Because you have like the entrepreneurial side, do you think, from your dad? Or like, when did that really come about? Like I want to be not just in PT, but like, you know, running something.
So when I was in high school, my mom said, hey, why don't you just shadow some different things? I wanted to either be a pilot or a radiologist, an accountant, or a PT. Kind of a broad
mix. So why those?
Yeah, so I still think I could get a pilot's license. I want to get it at some point.
You should.
I got a buddy who got one.
Yeah.
And I'll do it at some point. It's just a time commitment. We have three kids, and they've got a lot of stuff, too.
I've looked into that, too. You got to put a lot of hours in with the trainer. And
yep.
Yeah.
And so then accounting. I've got to do accounting now.
Yeah.
I don't know why radiologist. I don't know where that bug came from. And then PT. So I shadowed a PT in high school up in Plymouth. Loved it. Loved just the way that he ran the practice. Loved that it was small. Saw the impact that he had on patients. Got to kind of hear their stories. And said, all right, that's where I kind of want to do PT. Mm-hmm. And then in college, I got to work at a PT practice, Midwest PT. And Jim Holt and Julie Holt and their team was awesome. Small team, and it was just a great practice. Again, it was real manual therapy, using his hands to get people better. And I was like front desk. So I worked front desk, scheduling, doing insurance, doing transcription, which is like when like they dictate their note, then I would like, you know, write it all down so that he didn't have to. Mm-hmm. So it saved time. But I got to learn a lot of the lingo then,
right,
in undergrad doing that.
Are you kind of like a learn by doing kind of guy?
I read a lot. I read and yeah, I probably, so going back to like my dad would be like, he's an engineer mind. So he thinks it through down to the smallest detail. And I remember like an example of that would be like, we were going to take down the swing set from our childhood. It was when I was in college. And he sits down at the table. He's like, all right, let's draw up a plan. I go out to the garage door, grab a sledgehammer, and 30 minutes later, it's all down. And I come back in, and he's like, all right, so what if we start with, I was like, Dad, turn around. And like the whole thing's brought down to the ground. And like he probably would have done it really methodically, and like there would have been nothing, you know, undone at the end.
Yeah.
But I was like, I just took her down. So like there's different ways to get things done. Sometimes there's, you know, I might take three wrong turns where he'd take zero wrong turns but started later. And, you know, that kind of comes into a little bit knowing who you are and, like, how do you play in a team, mm-hmm, whether that's in a family or in our practice or in a lot of different situations. He'd be the one who was methodical. I was the one who's like, let's just get her done.
Yeah.
So yeah, probably a little more doer on that's the learning great. Side.
That's I feel like that's me too. I'd love to learn. Love to learn from people, hear things, read. I always listen because I hate reading.
Yeah,
I'm a big listener.
Audiobooks.
But like then I need to take that step further and actually do it for it to like really, because like otherwise like concepts almost and. You know, here's this good information, but if you don't apply it, are you really doing anything? So that's definitely something to do. What about sports? Are you a sports guy?
Yeah, I played basketball.
High school or college?
High school up through 10th grade. Okay. Love the sport. I still do a ton with basketball now. Coaching our daughter in fourth grade, or third grade, she played fourth grade ball. And then Lowe's team, I've been coaching them since they were probably second or third grade, and now they're 16 and playing AAU ball, and testosterone and muscles and what used to be an easy game is now like it's a lot more physical, and they're pretty darn good.
Yeah. So what about you playing college?
Nope. Anything? I played I did rugby too in high school.
Okay.
We had a really good team.
You don't hear that a lot, rugby.
Oh, I loved it.
I don't hear a lot of people. So, I only know like one other guy that's played rugby.
Yeah, so my best friend in life, he's from South Africa. So he's like, hey, let's play rugby. And so like we didn't even know what rugby was. We're watching the All Blacks to figure out what rugby is.
Right.
And then we ended up having a pretty good team. Day before what happened to be the state tournament and prom, I was playing pickup ball, basketball. And caught a head on head and split open my eyebrow.
Ooh.
And so I couldn't see out of that eye. Coach wouldn't let me play because I couldn't see anything on one side of me. Man. I looked beat up pretty good in prom too. I had an eye patch on, so I couldn't see all the stitches in black and blue. But
yeah
loved rugby. You barbecue after those. So it's not like any other sport. Like you hang out with the other team afterwards and talk about like plays and how did it go.
The other team, really?
Yeah, you hang out with the other team.
What the heck?
And kind of it's more of like an admiration and discussion of strategy and versus more animosity that you might see in other sports. And I played on the All-State, Minnesota All-State team too, so that was really fun. Really, really good group of guys, super athletic.
Do you think much of that is carried over into business?
Team sports in general.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, so I coach now a lot, and I feel like coaching, parenting, and leadership have a lot of the same foundational principles. I mean, you've got to like know your strengths and weaknesses. Like I think leaders have to be, leaders, parents, coaches, you all have to be pretty self-aware. What are you good at? What are you bad at? You know, what's your triggers? How what do you need around you to make sure that the whole team works, or the whole family works, or that, you know, whether that's basketball or business.
Self-aware thing was interesting because, like, you know, we'll dive into the test later, but like when I was reading some of the descriptions, like, well, that's me, like, that's exactly me, but I've never thought about that or put it into words.
Right.
And then now that you know that, here's what you can do. Play off that.
Yep. Or who do you need next?
It's like, dang, like that's really interesting, man.
Yep.
But
who's going to compliment you and maybe own your weaknesses? Like, I feel like humility, if you're a parent, a coach, or leading in a business or organization, humility is a lot easier place to sit. It's a lot easier to fall off a low pedestal because you're humble.
Yeah.
Than, arrogance, because you're all going to get knocked down.
Yeah. So kind of going back into, because like obviously active PT, right out of college, you're graduating, you're working. How do you kind of get in? Where does active PT start fitting in?
Sure. So after graduating, I'd hoped that we would move back up to the city so that I could work for the practice that I got to know in high school and then potentially maybe buy it.
Okay.
And then in 2006, as a student at Mayo, we do clinical rotations. And my clinical rotation was with Joan Copez, who's my partner at Active PT. And so she's like a shoulder guru. So like I got to...
And where was she at the time?
Olmsted. So she was at Olmsted Medical.
Okay.
And shoulder guru, just loved the shoulder, really good at it, learned a ton. And
anything shoulder related.
Yeah, anything shoulder related. She is incredibly good with even the toughest stuff like adhesive capsulitis. So then I graduated in May 2007. And she reached out to me in the fall of 2007. At this point, Case, my wife, said, like, hey, I want to stick around in Rochester. She's labor and delivery nurse. She loved it. She's like, we're staying in Rochester.
Yep.
So there goes Plymouth. We're not doing wrong. We're back to Plymouth. We're not buying that practice. So now we're down in Rochester. Joan reached out to me in fall of 2007 and says, like, hey, I think we should open up like a PT practice, and the therapist would get to like specialize in what they love doing.
Right.
And I was like, you realize Mayo's in like Rochester.
Right by
Mayo. Olmsted Medical Center's in Rochester. Yeah. It seems like a bad idea. And then she goes, well, what if you could just treat headaches, jaw, neck, back, all day long, every day? I was like, I'm in. Yep. So at the time, I was working at a satellite of Mayo in Lake City. And so I was doing 40 hours there. And then Joan opened. So Joan's the founder. Joan opened Active PT in May 2008. So we just celebrated 15 years.
Nice.
And then I started in August 2008. For the first year and a half or so, I was doing 40 at Lake City and 20 at Active PT. And then flipped it and did like 40 at Active PT and, you know, 20-ish at Lake City.
Lake City was fine with that?
Well, I was helping them get to their next therapist when I went to 20.
Okay.
And like, as long as I was, I think Rochester, Lake
City. So they knew you were like.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
We were marketing. We were doing, at that time, I think we were in newspapers. We didn't have fancy commercials at that time. And so we were in newspapers and stuff. So it wasn't anything I was hiding, but the distance was enough. Between Lake City and Rochester, that really wasn't an overlap of patients.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So when did you kind of transition then? Just
so full-time, wasn't until 2010.
Oh, wow.
And at that point, we were moving into the rack. So we had previously been in like a 10 by 12 office in the executive suites over on 19th. Next to you, remember when the J Clinic was here? Mm-mm. Okay, so it was a small room with just like two chairs, a desk, a treadmill, a treatment table, and maybe a Bosu ball. Tiny. And it was Joan and I, and we would rotate in and out. I'd treat one day, she'd treat another. Yeah. Yep. And then we got the opportunity to move into the rack.
How'd that come about?
Well, Joan had had some connections and some talks. We were doing some, we would do talks on back or neck or shoulder back in that room behind the deli. And I think she was talking to Wes or Mike. I can't remember which one, Wes or Mike. And they said, like, we were looking at going over by Papa John's by Best Buy. Mm-hmm. And he said, wait, like, there may be an opportunity to be in the rack. I mean, the rack is like a well-established, amazing business,
yeah.
Like great facility, great people. I mean, the Remix are just kinder than, I mean, they've just been, they're a handshake people,
yeah.
That they've got great values. They've got a great mission. And so to have an opportunity inside the Rochester Athletic Club, I was like,
yeah, well, wait.
Like this would be a great partnership.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're super small. Why would they even let us in? But if they're going to, like, let's do it.
Yeah.
And so we went into
You know Matt's been on this podcast, right?
No, I didn't know
that.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, he's awesome. They have been incredibly kind to us over the last, 2010, so 13 years. So anyway, we moved into that 1,100 square foot area.
Yep.
Cost us $30,000. That was a lot of money.
Right.
Was
that just like the build out, the space, the rent? What was
yeah. The, what was probably the, all of it. All yeah, I think we could afford it, so I think it was rolled into our lease. And I remember the scariest part was we had glass front doors. And so, like, we felt like we were in a fishbowl. So, like, we weren't that busy. I mean, we were busy, but not that busy. But we were also going out to satellite clinics. We had, in 2009, we opened up Plainview. Mm-hmm. And then we did, in 2011, we had Spring Valley, Wabasha, and Lake City open. So there were times where we were out of the clinic and the lights were off. I remember Dave Peterson, over at our attorney over at Dunlap, he walked by and said, hey, your lights are off on like a Tuesday.
Right.
Are you guys okay? Are you going out of business? And we're like, no. We're just at different locations. He goes, you gotta leave your lights on. It looks like you guys are dead. But like you had glass front doors that they could see if there's anybody in your lobby or not. And you know, we were still kind of early stages, so it wasn't always full. And then like 2000, let's see. So we had Plainview in 2009. We had three more that opened up in 11.
When was Wabasha? I lived in Wabasha.
2011. Yeah, Mike Seeger opened Wabasha and Lake City for us.
So where was that?
What's that?
Because I graduated from Wabasha in 13.
Yep.
So I was there.
Yep.
Where was Active PT?
Anytime.
It was in the Anytime.
Yeah, so we had one in there.
Because I went to the Anytime, but like it must have been just...
I would guess that there's people that walk inside the Rochester Athletic Club, and we've been there 13 years and don't always see us.
Yeah, the Anytime was like, it was like a two hallways.
Yeah, am I? I'm going to have to double check that one.
Yeah. Actually, no, at the time, it was a different spot.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah, they had a different building back then. I remember the old owner, actually, too.
Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he still owning that Lake City?
He owns the Lake City one, yeah. Jeff and Terry.
He's huge.
Yeah.
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 That's funny. Okay. So, yeah, Wabasha. I just never saw it.
Yeah, so then, yeah.
You must have had the lights off. That was a problem.
Probably. You would have been there 2 days a week and then in Lake City the other three.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was kind of our model is from the beginning. So like, I wish we still had this napkin. When Joan and I sat down in the fall of 2007, we were at Binky's North, and on a napkin she drew out like, okay, I think what we should do is have like Rochester be like the center of like a tire, like, and the spokes would be going out to like the other communities. Because both of us had like a passion for like rural communities.
Yeah.
She'd worked in Plainview, I'd worked in Lake City, and you kind of get you kind of continually hear, we don't want to go into Rochester. We want to be cared for in the community that we live in.
Yeah.
Yep. And so she kind of drew on this napkin of like a tire with spokes, and we're going to go out to these different communities around Rochester and try to bring really good care right where they're at.
Yep.
And we thought we would be transferring initially we thought whether the Plainview or Lake City Wabasha that they would come into Rochester for like specialty treatment. Like Joan would be shoulder and foot, I'd be headache and back, neck, and they would come into Rochester. But we ended up doing, instead of having people come in, we transferred that knowledge out. Right. So we worked on, you know, competencies and clinical reasoning and training techniques so that the therapists in those satellites were really good in a lot of different areas, so that the patients didn't have to come in.
Right.
So
when you would open more locations, were you then starting to like staff those full time then?
Yeah. So it's probably a little bit of an interesting model is that we always wanted to have two people go together. Feels a little bit more like a team, a little bit less like you're out there on an island by yourself. Mm-hmm. So we run two people out to the satellite clinic. So the seven satellites around Rochester have two people that go out twice a week. Some of them go out three, but mostly twice a week. So instead of doing one person 5 days a week, it's two twice a week. Mm-hmm. And then they'll work in Rochester the other three.
Okay. And that's still how it kind of operates?
Yeah. Yeah. And now we're out in Mankato, North Mankato. We acquired a clinic out there. And I think potentially we'll kind of do the same sort of thing and kind of branch out in some of those other communities. You got New Ulm. And a number of other communities that are potential opportunities.
Yeah. So backing up a little bit, partnership stuff, you know, that's always interesting to people.
Yeah.
You know, Joan approached you and said, we should do this.
Yeah.
But did she started solo and then you?
Yeah, I wish I would have bought it. I mean, we started on a $10,000 Amex card. That's what we had. So we had a year. And if we didn't make it, we didn't make it.
Yeah.
And I should have thrown in five at the time. I probably didn't have five at the time. I was just out of school and we were broke with a kid, but loved what we were doing. So I didn't buy until probably four or five years later. And
also that later that year in 2008, you were just working.
Oh yeah.
So you didn't have ownership then?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. So I ended up,
you went the expensive route. You waited until it started moving.
I know. We definitely, so she's always treated me as if I was an owner.
Right.
So like we'd be talking stats and we'd be talking P&L and, you know, cash flow and, you know, it was all in from the beginning.
Yeah.
And we both have similar values as far as how to take care of people and how to do business, how to do life. So there wasn't really like difficulty then when we said, like, I'd like to be a partner. I'd like to be an owner in this. I'm putting a lot of time, a lot of energy. I love active PT.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of owning in the pie. And we still drew it up really well. Peterson drew it up kind of saying like, hey, the better you define this ownership partnership, the better it works. So we got key man policies. We got all of the details hashed out on paper. But yeah, that it's been a really good partnership. And because somewhat because we had really defined roles. Joan right. loves to fish. She is a fantastic walleye fisherman. She's out all the time on the river. And she said, like, I don't want to just work all the time. So, like, this is what I want life to look like. If you want in, this is what I want life to look like. And
as long as that's up front, too. Then
yep. So, like, here's the parameters. This is what active PT is. This is what I want to be with in active PT. And I said, awesome. You know, I was super excited to have the opportunity to, you know, be in active PT and own an active PT.
Yeah, what year was that?
I think it was 2013.
Okay.
And at that point, so we had just hired Jake Heppner. We had opened up Stuartville and Byron.
That's where Jake worked, right?
Stuartville. Yeah. Yeah. And we opened up those two clinics just to bring Jake on.
Yeah.
Jake was like the best student I've ever had. Like he came in and like super hungry. I couldn't go from patient to patient without him wanting to like, what did we just do? Why did you do that? What was the clinical reasoning on that? Super hungry to just know and care at such a high level. I was like, we gotta bring him on. So we opened up two clinics. So we had, you know, more patients to potentially have him be able to see. And, yeah, it was pretty fun at that time. So buying in, opening clinics, trying to grow a team, trying to grow a team well so that they care for patients at a really high level.
Yeah.
Because we've never just grown to grow. Like we talk about why would we grow, and we're never just growing for growth's sake. We want to make sure that it's quality growth.
Did the motivation of growth change over the years? Because like, you know, even at like the start, it's kind of like, oh, we just want to grow. We're just
like you're just trying not to die. No, eventually, when you first start, you're just trying not to go out of business.
That's true, yeah.
And then, like, you look around and you're like, hey, we might not go out of business. Maybe we can, you know, have some other strategy.
Yeah.
But I think, so one of the reasons now, so, like, it probably wasn't in the early stages, but as we've gotten a little bit bigger, kind of looking around and saying, like, okay, so what do we stay the same or do we grow? And if we do grow, why? And in our industry across the country, you're seeing a lot more one therapist treating two people at a time. And we really like the one-to-one model. Interestingly enough, in Rochester, I think all the PT practices practice a one-to-one model. But if you go outside of Rochester, there's a lot of two-to-one model. And so you've got these bigger practices that are private equity backed, you know, 50 to 1,000 locations. And they, because insurance continues to reimburse lower and lower, and you can't really do anything about it, they'll start treating more patients with one therapist.
Okay.
And there's certain rules within that. So it's all legit. But our model was a one-to-one model. So we decided, like, okay, if we grow, why are we growing? We're growing because we believe in the brand of therapy that we do, as far as it's hands-on. You know, we're going through and doing specialized, you know, exercises. We're getting them to a higher level, or at least a level that they you know, are hoping for. We're really chasing their goals, making sure that we know what are our patients' goals. But then we're also taking care of a team really well. So we're getting to know our team. We're connecting with them. We're helping them with, like, self-awareness, with all those personality tests that we talk about. And because there's a lot of maybe PT mills that are coming through and they're churning and burning, they're having to see 70 to 120 visits a week. They're really growing fast. Like I heard one private equity guy say, like, we just have to make sure the river's flowing. We don't care about the bedrock. So we just need to make sure that we're growing fast because we have, you know, financial goals for PE. And so we don't have to do that. When we grow, we're growing because we believe in the team. We want to grow it bigger. We want to care for people well, both our team and our patients. And so we kind of take opportunities as they come, when they meet our core value filter, our mission filter, the who we are filter.
So when did you start like diving into the business development and people development? And, you know, because like everything you're talking about right now, you probably didn't know off the gate starting out.
Yeah. So I read a lot of books, listen to a lot of podcasts. I'd say I've got a poor man's MBA because I talk to a lot of people that are smarter than me with breakfasts, brunches, lunches, dinners, beers, and just pepper them with questions.
Yeah.
And get to learn from like the things that they did well, the things that they did poorly. And part of that whole process I got into, I think it's, is it Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh? He started talking about core values. I probably read that in 2010 or 11. And started to think, okay, like core values, like these are the things that we want to have our team identify with. And then like we went through Traction. We did self-implementation kind of like you're doing by Gino Wickman and got into Traction. We tried to implement it ourselves. Mm-hmm. We did probably a C-minus job of implementing it. Components of Traction, we got our
How many
mission.
People did you have at that, like when you started to implement it?
Self-implementation, we probably had maybe 10. And
so they kind of say, like, don't really do it until you have at least 10, right?
Yeah. So we did that in 2012. And then in December 2019, Joan found Dan Hawks. And he is now our EOS implementer. And so that was right before COVID. And many practices were going out of business. And we were able to not only, like, survive, but then kind of have like a really good plan on how to come through COVID and go out. I mean, as good a plan as anybody has during COVID, because that was something that, you know, nobody really had faced prior. But we then went through and grew like 10%, and then 21 we grew 78%, and then 22 we grew 29%. So like we started to kind of grow because we were much more focused. We knew how to take care of a team. You know, with those core values, we hire by them, we fire by them, we review, we recognize, we reward. It's like we really had a filter for how do we grow a good team.
Yep.
And then once you put a good team together, like that's hungry, that knows how to care for people at a high level, it just kept growing.
Mm. So how does your leadership structure work or like look?
Yeah, so we do like from a broad base at Active PT, like we do leadership book club. So anybody who's a current leader or wants to be a leader, we go through leadership books on a monthly or every month, every other month. And so we've hit like Delivering Happiness. We've hit, we've hit most of Lynn Schione's books. I love Lynn Schione. We've hit Working Genius. We've hit Five Dysfunctions.
Like how do you structure those? So if you know, I want to be a leadership in your organization.
Yeah.
Like you're meeting, like you're having them read these and then you're meeting about it or like, what does that look
yeah,
like?
Yeah. So we'll buy the books.
Yeah.
And if they want a book, a lot of people do audio books.
Yeah.
And then we'll say like, okay, like I think it's coming up. Our next one's in June. And we're going to go through High Impact Players by Liz Weissman. She wrote Multipliers as well. Also a really good book as you grow. We went through Multipliers, I think, as well. But yeah, we're going to do High Impact Players in June, and anybody who wants to come can learn. So like, there's no reason to like hold somebody back from learning leadership skills because like you're leading somebody. Yeah. Minimum, you're leading yourself.
Yeah.
If you can't lead yourself, you can't lead anybody else.
Right.
So, that's like our, you know, the basis of like there. And then like we have a leadership team of Joan, Jake. Jake is our director of outcomes. Clinical outcomes and education. So he's getting students to come. He's working on like coordinating mentorships and training. Mm-hmm. And then we do outcome measures. So like if we say we're good, we'd like to actually be good. So like you can have, it's called photo. So patients will kind of give a survey and a review of us. Say, hey, are we good, any good? Are they making progress? Are they reaching their goals? And we can objectively look at that. And then, Emily is our director of business operations. So that's got under that hood, it's got like finance, marketing, HR, all of our PSCs, the people that are really like the face of our business and our practice. They're up front, you know, greeting people and taking care of, you know, just those patient experience moments until they get into the clinician.
Okay. So that's like the leadership team.
Yep. And then it drops down into, we have directors of clinics. We've got a rack south, north. We got Adam at the rack. Alyssa's down at south. Garrison's at north. Chloe's running the Mankato, those two clinics in Mankato. We have Sam, who's the director of, we're starting a residency. So there's only, I think there's like 65, 70 private practice residencies in the country.
Wow.
And Sam Fisher primarily, then he's got Caitlin Fisher, he's got Jake, he's got all of us doing certain components of it. But he's starting our residency in July. We have three residents starting in July. So Sam's our director of residency. And then you've got Amanda. She's in charge of all of our PSCs. Mm-hmm. So she's leading our PSC team, which has 25 PSCs now. And that's a lot.
Right.
That's a lot of PSCs to be leading because they have to know so many things. Like, they have probably the hardest job because they're in insurance, they're in collections, they're in forward-facing greeting. They always have to be, you know, smiling and happy and empathetic. Like, we always say, like, you know, when you come in the door, we're going to lead with empathy. Mm-hmm. Like, if you and I are sitting down having a coffee and you say, my knee hurts, I don't say, like, what's your date of birth? Right? But we do that in a lot of, you know, medical settings. We say, like, hey, I have knee pain. I say, what's your date of birth? But if you and I are sitting down having coffee and you say, my knee hurts, tell me about it, man. How did you do it? Is it on the inside? Is it the outside? Did it buckle? Does it snap? Like, tell me about your pain. So, like, we want to do the same thing and treat you like you were family or a friend when you come in. Our PSCs do a fantastic job of just, like, making them feel like family and, like, saying, like, hey, we're going to help you out.
Yeah. That's super cool. So how do you do, like, your executive development?
Hmm.
You know, for those people that are already in the leadership team,
yeah.
How do you continue to develop those leaders?
So, like, on a week, I mean, EOS is a lot of processes. Like, the reason that EOS and Traction works is you create processes. So, like, with all of our team, I try to meet with each team member quarterly just to connect. That's not necessarily for, like, business development or leadership development. That's just so we know our people.
Yeah.
Meet with our directors on a weekly cadence. Those are opportunities to, like, look at our scorecard, look at our metrics, talk about clinical cases, and, you know, what are the different things that they need to do this week to help the team and help better care for patients.
Right.
And then we've got a monthly meetings where we kind of say, hey, what's the health of our practice? What do we need to do better? We're constantly asking, how do we be better? Mm-hmm. And then we've got quarterly where we're kind of setting the trajectory of active PT as a whole. And that's the four of us, Jake, M, Joan, and I, that sit down with Dan, our implementer in the cities, mm-hmm. and just say, like, okay, what are we going to set for the next 90-day rocks? We're looking at our 1 year, our 3 year, our 10 year. Is that still us? Is that still where we're headed?
Yep.
We're reviewing our core values, our mission, all of those things, and saying, okay, is this still us? Can we still defend that this is us?
Yeah.
And is the filter of what we're sending our different opportunities through still holding strong? Because you're going to get opportunities that you have to say no to, and it makes you stronger.
Yeah. Someone just brought that up. It was like, the bigger and longer, you know, the bigger you get and, like, the longer you be in business, the more opportunities are going to come about.
Yeah.
And that's where you really need to hold strong to your mission and vision.
Yep.
And go, hey, I could make more money here. I could be doing this here. But does this align with who we are, what I am, you know, all that stuff.
If we had an opportunity in Iowa, a provider called me and said, hey, we'd love you to come down and do swing bed, acute, SNF, and outpatient. And it was, I don't know, maybe $1.5 million worth of patients that they needed cared for. And I knew what our team would say, but I brought it to our ops and our leadership team. So there's 10 of us. I think we might have been doing a build out. So we might have been in the warehouse when I brought it in the first time. We might have been working on South. And I said, all right, here's this great opportunity. You know, trying to kind of sell it.
Yeah.
This is a great opportunity. And they just, like, laughed across the board and said, like, we're not doing that. because like that wouldn't be our core competency. We're outpatient. Like we're outpatient orthopedics. We're not SNF. We're not subacute. We're not acute. And so like that's not us. But it was also a cool opportunity to say, like, I called Rock Valley down. They're in Illinois and Iowa primarily. They just got out into Nebraska. They're probably four times the size of us, but I've gotten to know them and said, like, hey, this isn't us. Is this you? And they said, this is exactly who we are.
Wow.
So, like, now you've got somebody who, like, that's their core competency. They're going to do a better job delivering on that than we could have. And you get to help out another practice do well.
Feel good about that, yeah.
Yeah, same thing in town. Like, we don't do somebody who had, like, Parkinson's or you know, spinal cord injury. There's other practices in town. Melly Brennan runs a great practice that cares for these people much better than we can. So our PSC team knows if these diagnoses or the patients that are presenting like this come in, like, there's somebody better than that for those opportunities. Send them over to EA. Melanie will set them up. Let's get them in the best hands for care, because that fits within our mission. You know, we still want to make sure that we are caring for our team and our patients, and that's caring for them. Right. Not our patients yet. And if they were our patients, we probably wouldn't deliver as good a care as these other two practices. Like, let's get them in the right hands.
Yeah. That's cool. I love that you guys have recognized that. You know what you're best at. You know what's best for, like, you know, just the people and clients, and can go, yeah, here's where you need to be.
Yeah, it's a blast. And it's probably why we have a team. So, like, Joan had, I think, great vision in the beginning, saying, like, we want a specialized practice. Like, we want people on our team to be really excited to come to work and treat what they want to treat. And then they're going to dive into the research. They're going to go to extra continuing ed. They're going to do all these things because they love doing it. If you gave me a day of treating patients with foot pain, I probably would not love my week as much as if you gave me, like, complex headaches and people are suffering from neck pain or back pain or jaw pain. And now everybody likes treating patients with those issues, but I love treating patients with those issues. And there's other people on our team that love treating different areas. And then you're diving into the research. You're picking other people's brain on, like, for me, the TMD and headache team or the spine team. So I'm like, hey, have you seen this before? And you're excited to talk about it.
Right.
Like, if you give me plantar fasciitis, like, I'm probably not going to be that great at it, and I'm not that passionate about it. But there are people on our team. Kayla crushes treating patients with, like, runners and, you know, people have plantar fasciitis, and she loves treating people with feet.
Right.
So when you can put somebody in an area that they're passionate about, I think that helps our whole team and for sure helps our patients.
So what are the things, I mean, I would say, in general, you're probably one of the faster growing companies around. You know, I'm not saying that you're the biggest, but you've grown very fast. What do you think, you know, number of locations wise, people wise, I mean, it's been moving. What do you test that to?
Good people.
Yeah.
Like, I think the ability to have a good team of people that love what they're doing and that they care for the other people on the team, it makes coming to work enjoyable.
Right.
To know that you're surrounded by other A players that are trying to do their best by Active PT, the best for our patients, like, that's energizing. Like, today, it's Wednesday, so it's Wisdom Wednesday. So flowing through the Active PT chat, we have 80 people on this chat, is all quotes. Quotes, proverbs, stuff that, like, are just motivating. Yep, Ellie starts it every Wednesday. We do Wisdom Wednesday, and she puts it through there. Thursday, we do Thankful Thursday, so we're doing gratefuls. They're going to be flowing through there all Thursday. We start every meeting with gratefuls. So, like, I think it's the culture, it's the people, we get to help people every day. Like, I think that's one of the reasons why we continue to grow, and we're doing the things that we love too, and avoiding those things that maybe we're not.
Well, it's fun because a lot of things that we've talked about too in the business development realm are why the people are so excited about things and why the culture is so good.
Yeah.
You know, and then you just have to match the right people with your organization.
Yeah, right. That's right. See, you know, some Jim Collins now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with people that aren't the best fit? How do you figure that out?
Yeah, so that's okay, so we'll talk about this at some point. So I'm in Enneagram 8-7. So for the most part, that 7 side of me thinks all people are great, which can be a weakness.
Wait, you're 8-7?
Yep.
I'm an 8-7.
Are you really?
Yeah, 872. Yeah.
Got some help around you, too. So, yeah, so, like, I think the seven side of me sees most people as genuinely good. And so I probably believe it. Yep, believe in people to the point that it could hurt us at times.
Right.
But because we've got these core values and we say, like, you are these six things, we do hire and fire by it. There have been times where, like, your core values can push people out and being okay with that.
Right.
So we have had people that have left, and you, and like, let's say, so we do a core value review, a people analyzer. So that's in your book, Traction. Mm-hmm. So that's EOS. So we do a people analyzer 30, 60, 90 days once you start on ActivePT, and then every year. Then in our interview, we ask questions that try to draw out, are your core value fit? Mm-hmm. And we've had people that applied that were fantastic as far as their clinical reasoning.
Yeah, skill level.
They nailed all of the answers, but had a component of them that you would say, like, gosh, like, we're a humble team. Mm-hmm. And working with that person, they give off a sense of arrogance.
Right.
And I just think that that's a difficult quality to have on a team, because, you know, you may not feel like you can approach them. You may feel like they're condescending. You may feel like they're just not enjoyable to work with. We get to choose. Right, we're not that big of a practice. Right. We get to choose who we work with. Let's work with people that, like, share the values.
How many people do you have right now?
So the spring season or quarter two, we hire a lot of new clinicians. We've got a lot of PSCs coming on too. We'll have probably by the end of quarter two, somewhere around 88 people would be my rough. I think we're at 88 after this quarter.
Wow.
Yes. We went into COVID with
20,
21 clinicians and probably six PSCs and admin. So the EOS and the traction focus, that helped us significantly. Mm-hmm. We've grown a lot with that. You mean, get your VTO going.
Yeah.
And
I talked to the guy, name is Chris. He's like 3 hours from here. Met with him, owns a company. He's three generations in, 1,200 employees. Big company.
Yeah, it seems insurmountable, right?
And I ask, What were big things that helped you, really make moves? And he was going for a book. What is EOS?
Yep.
And that's when I pointed out, oh, like Traction. Like, what do you think of that one? They figured out, I kind of knew it about a little bit. But that was a big thing, So, like, anybody that's not, you got to be at least looking into that for sure.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I asked him, too, is, like, developing people. How do you do that? Because he was big on personal development. He's like, he said, I try to remove barriers, like, from people's lives so that they can progress. Mm-hmm. So if you're an employee trying to get to here in the organization, I want to help you move those barriers to help you get there, and let you thrive.
Yep.
And I'm also going to test you. Because he said, too, he's like, some of our highest leadership, he's gone, we're going to do this. I'm going to let you run with this for a bit. If you can handle it, it's yours. Like, that was cool too. It's like,
trust them.
Yeah. Like, you built enough trust to go, if you can handle this for the next, whatever, 6 weeks, it's yours.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting part as you grow, and you and I are both have gone through those stages where, like, initially you're doing everything.
Yeah.
There's not a component of the business you're not doing. And then as you grow, you realize you hit some ceilings. And, like, I still remember sitting down with our EOS implementer saying, like, hey, I want to grow. So that's all our leadership team. I want to grow. I think we should grow here and grow here. And then Dan, he says, hey, look around the room. Em, can we do that? She's like, nope. Joan, can we do that? Nope. Jake, can we do that? Nope. And they go, Brian, you know why we can't do it? And he's like, I'm like, I don't know. He goes, you're sitting in six seats.
Right.
He goes, we can't grow until you let go of the vine. It's an EOS kind of thing. Let go of the vine, delegate and elevate. You've got to find four other people that fill this director spot, that help out in this spot, because you've bottlenecked us. And so here we are, like a leadership team sitting there, and like get called out for like, hey, you're the reason we can't grow. Yeah. You've got to let go.
Yeah.
And so you can't wear all those hats. And then like kind of the expectations, like as you take this new role for me, you're going to do it better than I did. The previous person, that's me, didn't do it that great. Now you have to take it and do it so much better. And that's what we've seen is like, as we've elevated people and like that becomes their primary thought and focus, and they care for those people that much better, you know, then that area grows. And I think it's tough sometimes when you're first starting out and you know everything that's going on every day. Okay, like go a little bit more and like go a little bit more. And you're thinking like, God, this is going to fall apart. And it actually gets way better because better people are doing it. They've got more time and resources for it and a platform that was previously established too. And you just get to help
right.
You know, you get to coach them and help them and they're going to do it better. And you did that way better than the previous guy. Mm-hmm. Where's he at now?
That's funny because right before this, I met with Ben, our C12 forum leader.
Yeah.
And I filled out a document before we met. Before we talked, and one of the questions was on basically like, what's holding you back?
Yeah.
And I literally wrote down, I need to get out of my own way.
Yeah.
And he's like, talk to me about that. I said, I'm trying to hold on to too much and I need to focus on bringing the right people and then spending time developing them.
Yeah.
So that we can keep growing.
Yeah, the right people are going to be super hungry and soak it all up, and they probably can see your blind spots and what needs to be done better than you can.
Mm-hmm. So I really like that.
We're going to dive into your personality test.
Let's just dive into it.
Should we tell what it made you do? So our leaders do 7 personality tests. We do working genius, Enneagram, love languages, temperament, Kobe, and crystallizer. Did I miss any?
So I did Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, Love Languages, Crystallizer, Kobe, and Working Genius.
Yes, sweet. All right, so
I got all the the things right here.
This is fine. Okay, so you're a visionary naturally.
Would you rather see like just these or like the?
No, read off the letters for your Myers-Briggs. What do you got for letters?
So ESTP. T.
Man, you're extroverted. I never would have guessed it. Cool. Okay.
I took these and I put down the answer, but I really didn't dive into like what they all are.
Okay, so Myers-Briggs I take away. Okay, let's just start with your extroverted. Let's go to Enneagram. So you're a type 8, which is the challenger. 7, I believe, is called the optimist, and 2 is the helper. 2s are like the salt of the earth. Like you need people around you that are 2s because they're always going to help, probably to the point of burnout. They're the person that like will always help you move. Will always say yes to like hearing your sob story and make you feel better, but they can struggle with like burnout. So that's where like you get to know your team, you get to know like what are their strengths and weaknesses. Yeah, 8, you're the challenger, so you don't mind sitting in conflict, having tough conversations. But like the thing about 8s is like, I think the examples of 8s in history are like Winston Churchill, Martin Luther King Jr. as a healthy 8, and as an unhealthy 8, like Joseph Stalin. So like you're going to be like pursuit of justice and like fighting for the underdog and trying to help people through your assertiveness. But if you're in an unhealthy state, you're gonna like destroy people that are getting in your way.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, have fun with that personality. Like the blunt, willful, domineering, forceful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rageful, like those. Some of those things I'm like, dang.
Right, but it's good that you know that, and you say like, okay. When I'm healthy, I'm fighting for an underdog.
Yeah.
When I'm fighting for justice, I'm fighting for a good cause. But if I'm unhealthy and somebody steps in my way, like, I'm going to plow them.
Right.
And then you say, like, you get to throw your hands up and say, like, hey, you know, today I was unhealthy and I plowed you and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because those days will happen too.
Because what was your...
I'm an 8-7. Yeah. Yep. Love languages, acts of service. Okay, you're going to need people. You're going to need some 2s around you, man.
Yeah, acts of service, quality time, stuff like that. But yeah, acts of service was big.
Yeah. Crystallizer, you're a visionary. That doesn't surprise me. Kobe test, you're a quick start. So the first, the 4 is fact finder. Let's see, 3 is... So that's good. Yep, follow through. You're a 7 on quick start. And then implementer, you're kind of mid-range at the 6. Yeah, quick start. So you're going to take ideas and want to run with them fast. And which would fit with your, I think your working genius was wonder. So wonder or ideation?
I think it was,
ideation. So you're ideation and discernment. So ideation and discernment, that combo is the same as Pat Lencioni's. So it's pretty solid. But it means like you'll come up with a lot of different ideas and inventions, and you'll also start to discern them. Whereas if you were like wonder and ideation, you might just be kicking out shiny objects without kind of thinking them through. So that's a wicked combination, that ID combination. So,
which I think that changed, you know, as I've been doing it more. I feel like at the beginning it was just like everything and, you know, whatever, like just let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's try it. Let's do it.
Yep.
But then like the further I've gone, I'm trying to like be smart about it too. Like
yep.
This really excites me, but I also want to make sure that like we can do it and like yep. how we can do it.
Yeah. And that might change too. Like, so you, for your crystallizer, you had visionary as like the predominant thing, but you had a high score for integrator as well. As you get more and more of the right people on your bus, you might find that you get to focus more on visionary. You might like that more, mm-hmm. even if, you know, you still have some integrator.
I think it's probably some of like the controlling and letting go that yeah. I'm struggling with,
yeah.
you know, too. Because like, I care, try to, you know, do this and then it's not done how you want it. It's like, all right, I'm going to take it back. I'm going to do it now.
Yeah, somebody might say that's a bad training job, though.
Because
you're probably not a details guy.
Yeah.
So you're training somebody the details of what you expect without maybe seeing or knowing the details yourself.
Absolutely.
Because that's where like that working genius is kind of fun, because you've got wonder and ideation. And then as like the shiny objects get gathered, then they get funneled through like discernment. Like, are they good ideas? Can they be galvanized? So G's like galvanizing. And then you get into like tenacity and enablement. They're the dot, the I's, cross the T's. When you get past the discernment and it goes into like the final stages of a project, like you probably need to hand that off. You probably don't like it.
Right.
Once you get through ideation and discernment, yeah, you're probably not dotting I's and crossing T's, but somebody else is loving that and good at that.
Yeah.
And you just like I'm bad product at of that.
The complete follow through.
Yep.
Like, yeah, like I like this, but then like I need you to just like button that.
You get to
up.
About 75%.
Button this like, up, so then we can
And you have a button up person.
Kind of. You know, we play around with that. I'd love to see, you know, Jake and have him take all these.
Oh yeah.
And just cross, you know, like what?
Because like we're all gonna have strengths, we're all gonna have weaknesses, and part of the reason that we take like these 7 tests. One is I read too many books and too many podcasts and I'm a fact finder. So I like to know more and more details about who we are. But that self-awareness, it says like, okay, you're weak in the final stages. Mm-hmm. Okay. So like if you're in that stage all the time, you're going to be frustrated. If you get to come up with new ideas, bounce things, you know, off, you know, draw new things up and then kind of think about are they good ideas or not, you're in heaven.
Right.
You do that 7 days a week, you'd love it. And it's okay that you're not, your strength isn't the final part, because somebody else's is. It's okay that I love treating headaches and jaw and back and neck, and because somebody else loves treating patients that suffer from shoulder or feet issues, right? Yeah. Somebody else has that expertise. I love, you know, I'm GT on Working Genius, and I love the integrator role within like the EOS verbiage. So I like operations, I like running, I like our team, our culture, putting our time into that.
Yep.
If you made me come up with brand new ideas and new inventions all day long, I'd struggle.
Yeah.
I'd struggle. I'm a poor man's visionary in that I can fact find good ideas. If we say, hey, we should go to this new community, I'll fact find, research it, and tell you, hey, we should do this as if it was a brand new idea, but I fact found it to know that it will work too.
Right.
Whereas like a true visionary is throwing out ideas that are, you know, not researched, no clue if they'll be feasible or not. They just throw them out there. I think of like somebody would be like a flaming visionary. Do you know Wade Beavers?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got idea after idea after idea. And you know, I think that's where new inventions and new platforms come about. That's not me.
Yeah.
Give me the idea or let me cast a small vision. And then I can integrate and operate that, but
and you have everyone to take this. All
so this. Everybody who joins our team takes Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, and Love Languages.
Yeah.
As you get more and more into like leadership, then we have you take the other ones, and I'll throw a temperament on there too. So that's the 7th one. So it's Myers-Briggs, Enneagram,
okay.
Love Language, Crystallizer, Colby, Working Genius,
I think you might have sent me
temperament. And temperament, yeah, but I gave you 7. So this is where the fact finder in me gets a little exhausting at times. But I know that about myself. Right, right.
But it's super cool because like that's how you probably do a lot of, you know, development is because you know this stuff.
Oh yeah.
So you can then take all the data and go, this is how they communicate. This yep. is how they do things. These are where yep. they're gonna flourish.
Yep.
So like, not everyone's the same. We can't do it all the same for everybody.
So like so if you go back to Enneagram, like your ones are like your reformers and your perfectionists. Sam Fisher, Jake Heppner, like they're really good at, you know, they're type ones. You can give them process and detail work, and they're really good at dotting I's, crossing T's, the kind of stuff that you said like can be tough. They're very good at finding that those critical details that matter in the process, so that when we're training people, which is Jake's job, or like doing the residency, those details matter when you're bringing somebody new on and want to make sure they're a high-level clinician.
That's interesting too, because like, you know, even Jake and I right now, like if there's something that needs to be like written or like thought about, you know, like I'm good at just like just dumping stuff. Like I can just,
you're a good delegator.
Yeah, I gotta go, no, or like writing it too. Like I'll just put all this stuff down, but it's like,
and are they ideas, to me it makes sense. Tasks?
Well no, it's it could be anything. Like if we were writing a blog or a job description or a training or like whatever that is.
Yeah.
And he'd go like, well, I don't really know where to like start. I'm better like putting it down and then giving it to him, and then he's better at having something to go off of to like revise.
You might be your integrator.
And then it's just like, so yeah, it's fun like that where you.
And it's your brother too, so that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
If you guys compliment each other like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I want to see where like a lot of our stuff matches up, just growing, having like that same, you know, background and culture and.
You've seen my spreadsheet where I've got a spreadsheet of like,
you
know, 20 team members and like all of their 7 tests, you know? And how do people, you know, stack up on there. And then as more people take the test, I add them to the Google Doc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you basically got like a player card for each like person, like strengths, weaknesses.
Yeah. This. And the good or bad thing is awesome. They can see all my strengths and weaknesses too. And like when you're vulnerable and you say like, hey, here's me at my best, here's me at my worst, here's my strengths, here's my weaknesses. There's a vulnerability to that. Like Craig Rochelle will say, like, people will be impressed with your strengths, but they're going to connect with your vulnerabilities. Mm. And I think, like, as leaders, like, we're going to screw up, we're going to make mistakes, so you might as well own them, share them.
Yeah.
And then we all can learn from them together.
I like the best and worst, you know, showing that. Yeah, just like the worst side, too.
Yeah.
And what that can look like.
Because we have it, and everybody sees it, so you might as well, you know, M&M it and say it beforehand. Yeah. Like, this is who I am. These are my, you know, flaws. This is where I'll screw up. Hey, I just screwed up again. And I think that that helps, because then other people can make mistakes and own them and share them. And now you have a culture that, like, we're not too good to say we screwed up, because our goal is to be better for our patients.
No.
So, like, tell us that we screwed up. Our patients tell us if we screwed up. And if you're not receiving feedback, guess what? It dries up.
Yeah.
If you get defensive, or if you get, and I have, you know, there are times where like you hit a cord and you're like, God, I wish I would have handled that better. But like if you can receive it good and you can keep hearing the noise saying, hey, where can we get better? You will grow so much faster.
I love it. I love all this stuff. And the more I dive into it, it's more interesting. You know,
And it's kind of like, so in PT, we have like clusters. Like there might be like a rotator cuff cluster. So it's 5 or 6 tests that make up and says like, okay, now I have a rotator cuff, you know, pathology. Or like for the neck radiculopathy, there's a cluster. I look at personality tests. Like if you took any one of them and did a research, you know, study on it, is it going to stand up? Probably not. But if you have 7 tests and you can say a cluster, this kind of looks like who I am, right? You're going to look visionary and idea across, you know, most of those tests. Well, you're probably an idea guy.
Right.
You know, so not one of these tests, you're going to look at the research and say, yep, that's the one test. 7, you get a pretty decent idea.
Right. And it's fun to see how like a lot of them like match. Like this says you do this, but this also says, you know, so yeah, then you can, right.
And then you look in a Enneagram, you look at what are like the bad sides of an 8. or the bad, you know, what's unhealthy look like. We used to do this. We don't do it anymore. But when somebody would join our team, on the first day, they would read their Enneagram, and they would say, like, okay, you know, this is what twos are, helping everybody. They're, you know, the kindest, salt of the earth people. And then what are they at the unhealthy level? And you'd read that too. And like, it kind of like, everybody's kind of laughing because like the unhealthy doesn't sound fantastic.
Yeah.
But then you kind of just realize, like, hey, we're all going to have good and bad days, but we're here to support you.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're going to do something that we haven't done on the podcast yet before.
Cool.
Calling it the lightning round.
Okay.
Just want to rattle them off.
Okay.
Just whatever pops in the head, you just go with it. One of your favorite books right now?
I'll say Lifetime, Five Dysfunctions of a Team.
Okay. Best podcast that you listen to for business?
Ooh, right now, Rocket Fuel.
Best day of the week?
Friday. I get to do, those are the days that I get to do quarterly connections with team members across Active PT. Our operations meeting is fantastic, and lots of times we have a book club or some sort of meeting in the happy hour or something afterwards for Fridays, yeah.
Yeah, that feels you.
Yep, and yeah. Who knows, we might be heading to the cities to go watch one of the kids play basketball or do track, softball, something.
Yeah. Investing now,
yep.
Real estate or acquisitions?
For Active PT or personally?
Personally.
Let's say both.
Yeah.
We'll see what the depends on the resources, but I'd always say both.
Yeah. How many cups of coffee are you a day?
Depends. If I'm sitting chatting with you at 5 West, 7 or 8. If I'm sitting down working, I'll have a half cup still there at like 3 o'clock that's cold.
Who inspires you?
Oh, lots of people. Like I said, I've had a lot of mentors pour into me. A lot of our team members, you know, they tell stories about their life. Our patients are incredibly inspiring, and you learn a lot. You know, just sitting, we're with patients for 45 minutes. We get to know them.
Sounds like a politician answer.
I know, it does sound super, super lame, but like, I think it's true too. I'd say people in general.
Yeah.
I love hearing people's stories. I love knowing people, understanding people.
Yeah, I do too.
I think, you know, it fits our personality, underdogs.
Yeah.
Anytime you can hear a story of somebody did something that was like, they outkicked their coverage. They were, you know, that quote, like, it's not enough to be good if you could have been great. So like when somebody with like, that you wouldn't have thought could pull it off, pulls it off. I love those kinds of stories.
No, I do too.
Yeah.
Movies, anything like that.
Yeah.
if you could start over again, what would you change?
With what?
Business life, anything.
I don't think I think like that. I feel like the whole journey is the reward.
Yeah.
So like if you took a left here, like that was part of the journey and maybe you had to bushwhack it for a little bit. And then like you took a right and you should have gone a different direction and you know, you learned something, you met somebody, you grew some way. I don't think I'm regrets or change kind of thinker.
Yeah, I like it. Sweet. So that's lightning round. The other thing I really like to ask people though too before we end is just because we got a lot of people that listen that are could be owners, could be people that are trying to start something, could be entrepreneurs, you know, whatever it is. That's kind of our demographic. What advice would you give, you know, to somebody that's on their journey trying to make something happen?
Yeah, so we hire a lot of new team members. I think we've hired 16, 17 new people this year. And, you know, we think IQ is the biggest differentiator, but then we've learned like, okay, EQ is important. And then we talk about SQ or social quotient. And Jake Heppner, Sam, a couple of us were talking about like, what's the differentiator when new people come on? And we call it CQ. And Jake talks about the curiosity quotient or the hunger to like know. So like the people that in an interview, we ask them a clinical, you know, question and then look for a differential diagnosis. And then they're like, hey, before we hang up on the interview, can you tell me like, what would you guys have done in that situation? Like, what was the differential? What was the treatment? And they like can't stop until they know. And whether that's like somebody who is training in an admin role or a finance role or one of our clinicians, the people that like, they have to know and they want to be better. And I think in my own life, like as I've peppered people that are a lot smarter, wiser, more experienced than me in business, in healthcare to learn. Like I grill it. It's like your lightning round constantly. If he's down for coffee, how did you do this? How did you do this? How did you do this? How did that number work? How did this situation work? Where did you screw up? And you know, what would, you know, maybe not do different, but like, how did that play? And so you just get to learn. And it's those people that join our team that are hungry to be better and know for the betterment of their patient and for their betterment of caring for the people in their life. Those are the people that I think have success. Like you and I both know, you can't chase money. You can't chase like accolades. You have to have something that's like actually important. And I think when you're caring for people, you have to know how to treat them because it's an open book test. You don't have to take a PT board exam anymore. You don't have to take OCS. You pass that. Now every patient is your test and it's an open book. And so you're going to fill out 7 of the 10 answers, or are you going to go talk to the doctor that might be able to help you, the surgeon, the dentist? Are you going to go talk to like a personal trainer to get a new exercise? You're going to go find that answer, Instagram, books, Google it. It's an open book test. Go find the answer. Or are you that person that like fills out 7 out of 10 and calls it a day? And the people that can't call it a day, that have a hunger to know, those are the people that I think are going to have success.
Man, I'm excited. This was a good one. I really like that.
I'm excited to be on here and chat with you. Absolutely. I probably would have had 8 glasses of coffee if we didn't have, who would have had, you know, Amber bringing it over.
As we kind of wrap things up, just remember, if you're enjoying the podcast, we're going to share it out. You know, we gotta keep growing it. Gotta Absolutely. Keep getting listeners out there. Brian, it's been a pleasure having you on today.
It's fun. I feel like we could keep chatting.
I know. I think we're an hour in or so.
And we're 8, so we could do conflict fantastic.
Yep.
Just stir up some good conversations.
Yep. Well, sweet, man. I appreciate that. And we'll see you guys on the next one.
Grateful for you, man.
Appreciate it.
And as always, guys, you know, we really appreciate you listening to the Media Corps Minute podcast. Remember, if you did enjoy this or got something from it, share it with your friends, family, coworkers, anybody in business. We're trying to grow the channel. We can't do that without your support. If you have anybody that is interested in maybe being a guest on here, or even you yourself, shoot us an email, a DM. We'll see if we can get you on the next one.